Today's episode is brought to you by Emco Beauty. Affordable, luxe for less, and cruelty-free beauty with every product under $50. Amazing, right?
We don't have time for this.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gadigal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
DLs, I know this is novel only to Revs and I, but we're still getting used to the video format of the podcast. I realise right now we're in the audio part, if we're in your ears, in your car, wherever we're hanging with you today.
We're on a walk. It's the only exercise we've done this week via you.
Thank you very much, DLs. I walked in and I was back in true gutter goblin form. I had a hell of a morning trying to get the kids ready whilst also trying to sneak off to a Pilates class, coming home, getting Rafa to school, running to the podcast
studio. She looked a hot mess.
I forgot that we have a video format now, and I rocked up without a shower, without a face on, nest hair, and inactive wear, Pilates socks on with sandals.
In her heaviest day of period.
Yeah, it is the heaviest day of my shark week.
It's okay.
So I'm a vibe, basically. And I just want to share with you the antithesis of me, which is Revs. And I didn't say this, but I'm going to quote producer Kate. She said, wow, Jem, gutter goblin, Revs, supermodel.
I reject this label.
You don't get to choose how we perceive you.
It's like I've come in black tie. I'm wearing a set.
She's wearing a beautiful set, beautiful piece of jewelry, but also face is immaculate today. Hair is immaculate. She will try and double down and go, no, my hair is still dirty from the photo shoot.
It's a week old hair that I've slicked into a ponytail.
She's slicked it into a ponytail. There is an additional step here that needs to be noted, and then proceeded to braid her ponytail.
Okay, inspo, Isla.
Love it.
This is how Isla does her hair for school now, and I was like, would it be weird to stan a nine-year-old? Because I love this hairdo.
But Revsy, I'm so happy for you that you
no, you're not. You're so, like, fuck you. I look gutter goblin and you're all dressed up.
Well, once upon a not long a time ago.
Wow.
We both used to rock up basically in our pajamas.
Slobs.
It would be a good day if we brushed our teeth.
Well, you know, whatever.
And you've embraced this very well put together version of you, and I'm embracing it, and I'm taking it as inspo.
Okay. You've done a real 180.
So you know how
from fuck you to inspo in one quick 10 minutes.
You know how last week we talked about jealousy and how it's not a trait in our DNA and our personalities? I'd like to retract that. I am very jealous, and it's a weird thing to be jealous of, okay? I'm jelly. I'm going to change it to jelly. It feels
feels less aggressive.
Yeah, it feels gentler.
Yeah.
I'm jelly of your shared parenting agreement.
Oh, my kid-free Tuesday mornings.
Yes.
Totally. You should be jealous.
Yes.
It's lush.
It is lush.
It's lush as fuck.
You wake up on your own or sometimes with Americano and you
get ready at leisure.
You get ready at leisure and you arrive in a very calm state on Tuesday mornings.
Yeah, I do.
And I feel like I've been dragged backwards through a hedge.
Well, you should get divorced then. What do you reckon?
No!
Well, there you go. So shut up.
Totally.
Start the episode.
We have a thousand things to do, but we'd rather chat to you with emails and meetings and husbands and kids. We don't have time for this. Just what you need. Two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time for This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, a.k.a. Gemma Peanut on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Reeves.
Looking slick and supermodel.
I'm shutting this down. Shut the chat down. First of all, I just put makeup on. I'm not in black tie. I'm not wearing a ball gown.
Am I not allowed to admire your beauty as your bestie?
Sure. You're just projecting because you felt like hedge lady.
Meant it when I said it's hashtag inspo for me.
Okay. I am literally wearing what you wore a week ago. Like, it's pretty much the same outfit.
Do you know what it is? It's the slick back hair.
Yeah.
It's that chic, high end, I am a rich person.
It's
energy.
Giving hot and rich.
Yeah.
It's funny. I am so late, 38 years late to this slick pony party, but not Spawn. It's this Emco product they sent me, the slick stick dupe.
It's amazing.
It really does go, oh no, instead of just dirty hair in a ponytail, it looks done. It looks like a choice.
Babe, that's what it is.
It's the slick stick.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because normally if I just brush my dirty hair into a ponytail, it looks like dirty hair in a ponytail.
Something's just landed on me.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding.
What is it?
I know what it is.
What?
Because you've got Stennies now.
Yeah. Oh, it's the thick plait.
No, it's not that.
No? Okay.
Let me finish.
Sorry.
Stop trying to finish my... I know we frequently finish each other's sentences.
It gets too much.
You're failing today, okay?
Just shut up, Rebs.
It's the fact that when your Stennies were novel and new,
mm-hmm.
you were going through a phase of actually doing your hair
yes.
and curling it.
Yes.
And actually, you started to, if I may suggest, hide behind these lush locks. And... now your hair is slicked back in this cool do.
Okay.
I'm seeing your beautiful face. Okay. Your face is what you're leading with today. Okay. You're not a mop. Like, I need someone else to back me.
Guys, definitely go spend $1,200 on hair extensions to be called a mop by your best friend.
But I mean it. Normally you've got this mane.
That's better.
Let me rebrand it. This mane of blonde surrounding your face, yeah. framing it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh my God, look at her brows.
Look at my brow.
Look at her eyes. Okay. Look at that skin, you know?
Okay, mum. Okay, all right. You know how mums and dads love it when you pull your hair back off your face? I do it to my own kid.
Sorry, I just zoomed out. Enough navel gazing.
Stop.
We just need to stop. DLs are like, shut up. But do you know what I love about the potty?
What, babe?
Every time I show up, I forget about our DLs. Not in a negative way, but in a I'm so in it with you,
oh, right,
my
right,
bestie
right.
Revs.
That you forget about the audience.
Well, like just being me,
yep.
how I would be with you great. In the company of my best friend, that I lose the performance element.
You're dragging me a mop.
Yeah, well.
Hey, so I've been with my partner for 18-ish months, right?
That's huge.
About. Okay, that's not the story. But what I wanted to say was he only recently discovered something about me that I know you know all about, but I don't even know if the DLs know about this. And it reminded me that I've got this weird thing.
And we need to air it out. I feel like I know what you're going to talk about.
Do you?
But you can confirm or deny.
So we went out for dinner mm-hmm. and there were capers.
Okay, I already know I'm right. I know exactly what Rebs is talking about.
On the plate, I think it was capers that sparked this. And he offered me a bite of his meal and I was like, oh no, I couldn't possibly because it's got capers. And he's like, you don't like capers? And he's the kind of person who will eat anything. Mm. Like he's just like, he's a big foodie. And I've literally never in our 18 months seen him go, oh no, I don't like insert thing. He would eat anything. I think he would eat like raw sea urchin and be like, interesting.
Love him.
Really adventurous. Grew up with a chef as a dad, like eats it all.
So the natural response would be like, hey, I'm not a caper gal.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, Revs, what did you reveal about yourself?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm afraid of those. He's like, huh? And it landed on me in the moment. Oh my God, I haven't had to tell anyone about this fear for years. Like this has not come up in my everyday life for a long time.
DLs, there are unique phobias and then there are Revs phobias.
Only one. Well, it's a category. Guys, I have a fear and it really is a fear. Like it's definitely a phobia.
I can't take you seriously.
Of small misshapen foods.
You heard it here first, DLs.
Not a typo.
She has a phobia of small misshapen foods.
And also it doesn't really make sense because there are some things I'm fine with, i.e. sultanas. Love a sultana.
Mm.
Totally fine with raspberries, that kind of size. I would say that's the size cutoff. Anything from Malteser
to nerds.
Size-wise, that has a misshapen vibe. So nerds, for anyone who doesn't know what nerds are, I don't know in different countries if you have them, but they're like a candy. It's like a popping candy kind of. They're like these little.
She's dry retching.
I'm sorry.
RDLs love this in their ears on a Tuesday morning.
They're like these little gross. Explain what nerds are.
It's exactly what Rev said. It's like little popping candies. If you imagine like tiny little pebbles, but they all come in different shapes. They're not perfectly circular. They're kind of like little nuggets.
I'm so upset.
It upsets her so much.
I hate it. And if I can be even more specific, mm-hmm. the worst time that I could experience something like, say, a nerd would be if it was in like the crease of a car seat or
with the hair attached to it.
Or like the, like where you put the handle of a car door. You know how like debris?
There. Do you know what wasn't on my bingo card this morning? Was developing my own fear of small misshapen food. Because that's what you're doing for me and the DL community.
Sorry.
We don't need I'm you sorry. To expand on your fear. We don't want this fear by proxy.
But just pretend you're Americano. You've been dating me for 18 months. He thinks I'm the fucking duck's nuts. Mm-hmm. As he puts it, you tick all the boxes. There's nothing wrong with you. What the fuck? I'm like, love that. And then he's like, what? And I go, and the way I tried to explain to him was I started with nerds and he was like, okay, yeah, all right, they're a weird shape. And I was like, no, I feel like they're going to get inside my body. And he's like, what? And I was like, I feel like if I go anywhere near them, they'll get stuck under my nail beds and they will absorb into my body. I know it's not real. I know it's irrational, but that's my fear.
It is completely irrational.
And same with capers, same with peppercorns.
Can we muse on the humble Malteser?
Yes.
Because generally speaking, Maltesers are consistent in form.
And I like them.
But we all know.
That runt one?
The runty Malteser.
I have to throw it. I have to throw it far away from me. If I'm in the movies.
She pegs it across the room.
If I come across a runt Malteser, I've got to throw it violently and very fast.
Revsy, you're not even throwing it. It's an involuntary reaction.
I actually get sweaty and afraid. And I tried to explain this to my partner and I was like, because you know how you get a runt Malteser? And he's like one that's like a funny shape. And I was like, yeah, and you know, like a scary Malteser. And he goes, that's not a thing. That's not a scary Malteser. And I was like, oh no, you know how like peppercorns can be really scary? And he's like, no.
Can't relate, babe.
Anyway, I've never looked. Maybe there's a whole community of us online.
I highly doubt there's a whole community.
Maybe it's like misophilioma.
There's a teeny tiny.
Misophonia? The fear of someone eating.
Oh yeah.
The sounds of someone else eating.
That's a real phobia. And many of us can relate to that being a thing. The small misshapen food thing, it's your own personal little niche.
It's very weird.
It's a quiet corner of the internet. Population one revs. Just imagine
just a Reddit thread.
A corner.
Me.
Just her standing there holding a sign saying small misshapen food fears and people are just walking past going, not me. Nope. And she's just there on her own with her sign.
I feel like if there's this like internationally recognized fear of peanut butter, as a real phobia, no, the fear of peanut butter being stuck to the roof of your mouth. We all know that's like a niche but very real fear.
I don't have the fear of it, but I know how claustrophobic it is when it's stuck to the roof of your mouth and you feel like the world is closing in on you
a little bit. I'm not even honing it down to one thing. Sure, it pops off with nerds, okay? But it's not nerds. I have a fear of nerds getting under my fingernails, although that is part of it. It's a category and I feel like it makes a lot of sense, but I've never met another. Should we give it a name?
We're going to invent a name for this phobia.
What's Latin for small?
So small in Latin is parvis.
Parvis.
Misshapen in Latin is, just doing a quick Google.
Deformitas.
Deformitas.
Parve deformitas a phobia. That's what I've got, Rev. That's what I've got, and I'm going to start a Reddit thread.
Really rolls off the tongue. Anyone else got parve deformitophobia?
I don't know. You never know.
The thing that me and all of the collective DL community want to know is, was it a deal breaker for Americano?
He just, look, I saw a look past his eyes I've never seen before, which was like, eh.
He got the ick. Babe, you've given him the ick. He's gone, this is fucking irrational. And for a chick
here it
who
comes,
is
the problem.
Nuts, what's next? We've gotten to know each other too intimately. We cannot merge households. I want to be able to bring nerds into our household. Nope. I'm American. Nerds are big in the US.
No.
It's a slippery slope.
It is. And ever evolving. Some things are fine for a few years and then I'm like, no.
Or do you feel closer to each other? Like, do you feel like you shared a part of you?
I would love that to be true, Jen, but I really think I saw disappointment in his eyes.
You don't want me to admit it, but I think he got the ick.
And we'll have to ask him, babe, did you get the ick when you learned about my parve deformitas? A phobia.
Well, speaking of being the duck's nuts. In the eye of the beholder. I've got a story I want to share. Now, I do have to preface this by saying it's not my story. It is one of my girlfriend's stories.
But you did get full permission.
full permission to share this. I will say that she told me this story while she was drunk on a dance floor, and I had to call her and just check, hey, you divulged this narrative to me. You were wasted on the D floor. You did mention on the D floor that I had permission to share this on
the
potty.
Say D floor again.
D floor. Rebs is trying to derail me.
I'm trying to remember last time I was on a D floor.
Well, I was recently. I feel uber cool.
Yeah, you feel very smug, I think. You've wanted to say it four times. Guys, when I was on this D floor with my friend, anyway, on the D floor, she told me this story about this time when she wasn't on a D floor, but we were on a D floor.
I was trying to be respectful and just give her the opportunity to say yes or no. Obviously, I'm going to keep this entirely anonymous as it involves another party who does not give consent to this story being shared, but no one will ever know who this person is.
Love it already. I'm salivating for the gossip. Dales, I don't know this story yet. All I know is that Jem walked into the pod studio with headphones in, laughing her ass off, and wouldn't tell me what she was listening to. And I was like, what? What? She's like, I'm just getting all the finer details on a story I want to share with you in the DLs.
And I'm saving it for the pod. So here we are on the pod. My girlfriend is a single mum.
Mm-hmm.
She's got one kid, and she is an absolute catch, in my humble opinion. Any man would be lucky to have her. Now, she is very independent. She doesn't need anyone. She's a bit like Revs in, like, if you're not a value add to my life, I actually don't need you. I'm quite happy to be on my own. She's got her shit together. She's also a fucking good time. But in the quiet moments, especially when she doesn't have her daughter around with her, she misses the company of a partner.
It gets lonely.
Yes. Yeah. And so she's been on the dating scene. You know, she's been doing the apps for a while, and I think she was quite fatigued by going on these dates, but she wasn't sort of giving up hope that she could find the right person. Anyway, she went on the perfect first date with this guy, which is amazing. So excited for her. He ticks so many boxes. No one's going to tick all the boxes, but this guy ticks a lot of boxes. Like, she's really attracted to him. He's really good looking. He's got his professional shit in check.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a couple of kids, which she's totally fine with, happy to blend families. So they went on a first date together. Now, the first date was a dinner at his place, which is,
wow,
I will say, very intimate. I like your feedback on this, Revs, because you have been through the apps process. I will also say that she does the whole let's FaceTime first.
No, but straight up would be a bit nervous about the safety.
Can I just give a little more context around this? So when they organized their first date, it was actually Mother's Day and there were no restaurant bookings available.
Oh, okay.
So I guess after a few FaceTimes,
She felt confident and comfortable to go over.
Cool. But it just meant they had deeper chats. You know, when you're in a home environment, I feel like there's an intimacy there.
Okay. 100%.
Fast forward to date number two. They go out to a restaurant, again, vibing. And at this point, I wanted to ask you this, Revs, with Americano. When the second date goes well and it's reinforcing what went well about the first date, do you start to go, there's something in this?
100%.
Yeah.
So third date is the key.
Okay. So second date, she's cementing. Yep. She's like, oh, like, wow.
I like this guy.
I really like this guy. So, you know, they have sexy time that night and it's mind blowing. And she's like, okay, so we connect cerebrally and now we're connecting physically.
I love this.
They go on a third date.
Okay.
Same thing. Amazing, mind-blowing date. Hanky-panky happens in the evening.
And it's good again.
It's all good again.
Woo!
He stays over at her place this time and we get to breakfast.
Oh, no. The way you said that filled me with fear.
He asks her, are you open to experimenting a bit in the bedroom?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she says, yeah, what did you have in mind? Yeah, I'm totally open. You know, by this point, she's invested. She's in.
And they've had two mind-blowing sessions, so she's up.
Yeah, and, you know, when someone's great in the bedroom, you're like,
great,
you've opened Pandora's box. What other toys have you got in there?
Yeah.
And he said, great, next time we get sexy together.
I don't think he would have said it, though. It's been a while, Chumsai. Next time.
I'm giving myself away.
We get sexy together. Done. Ick. Next time we're in bed.
Next time we're in bed, I want you to poo on me.
No.
Yeah.
Poo, not pee.
I'll correct it. Next time we're in bed together, I want you to take a dump on me.
Verbatim.
Verbatim. I want you to take a dump. Now she thought, lol.
Ha ha.
This is his
banter.
Total banter. She was like, ha ha. Yeah, yeah. Good one, buddy. And he was like, no, I'm being serious. And he said, my ex-girlfriend used to do this. And honestly, don't knock it until you've tried it. And she said in that moment she was trying to work out if he was still pulling her arm or if he was being serious. And then she realized very quickly that this was not a joke for him. And he was asking her genuinely if she would like to partake in this defecation situation.
Okay.
Yes. So wait. We're not done here.
And at breakfast?
At breakfast.
Had she had her coffee yet? Because was he waiting for the coffee to kick in?
I think she was spitting her coffee out.
I'd be like,
point.
No more caffeine for me. I am blocked up. I'm backed up. It's a problem.
Well, she goes on to say to him, this is not my thing. This sounds like it's a you thing, but I have to be upfront and say, I'm kind of not down with this. And he kept going on about saying, look, honestly, don't knock it until you've tried it. And then she said,
I knock it.
She said, I'm really sorry. But it's never going to be my thing.
Yep.
I can't foresee a situation where I would feel comfortable taking a dump on you.
Happy for you and your ex-girlfriend. No shade to your kink. Go for it. Like, have any kink you want. I've got a boundary.
Now, to his credit, at this point, he goes, okay, that's fair. Because obviously they've connected and they like each other. And he said, instead of taking a dump on me, when you do a poo.
I don't want to know. I want to know.
Can I inspect it?
Inspect it.
Yep. Can I inspect it? Can I look at it? And he qualifies this with
any words.
He qualifies this with my ex-girlfriend would like.
Fuck his ex-girlfriend. She's not real. He doesn't have an ex-girlfriend. This is just his way of saying this is what I want to do. Producer Kate's jaw is on the floor.
Wait. And then she says, no.
No.
I'm not comfortable with this. And he goes, okay, fine, that's fair.
Okay, God.
Can you at least tell me about your poos? What do they feel like? What's the texture? What's the size? And she goes, to be honest, I have constipation issues. thinking that would be a turnoff.
Oh,
that,
no.
That would be the ick.
No.
And his response was, tell me more. He says, sorry.
Are we talking IBS? Are we talking soft stool? What you got going on in that colon, babe?
So does that mean they come out big? Because you've been backed up, does that mean they come out big? Now, at this point, she's like, how the fuck do I get this person out of my house? Her future hopes and dreams. Like she had been to this guy's house. He had been to her. She had already merged their families in their head. She was like, his house is bigger. He's got the pool. We'll obviously move in with him. All of that burnt to the ground. Just gone.
So I have so many questions. So is the idea if you poo on him that then he would stop and inspect it?
And maybe fondle it?
Have a feel.
Fondle it in his fingers?
And like, is there some kind of blanket you have to put down for this? Like, what if you have nice linen sheets?
I mean, I haven't thought about the general logistics of this, but oddly enough. But I wonder if there's like a plastic tarp sheet situation for this kind of adult play. There must be something on the market because this, I'm learning, is people's kinks.
Yeah. And not, I genuinely don't want to kink shame anyone, but this is like, you just have to put yourself in this position if this is not for you.
Like golden showers are a thing.
Well known.
Yeah.
Personally not into that.
I'm not into it either, but actually it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me. No, I don't think.
I don't think it would be for me either.
A guy was like, can you piss on me in the shower? I would be like, ooh. You know, sometimes I do that to my husband as a joke. Just to annoy each other. Because we act like 10-year-olds sometimes. I've given away way too much information about me and my husband. But, you know, we get a bit silly in the background. But there's something about poo and shitting on someone else. I mean, I feel like he probably thinks he's being generous and selfless because he's not saying, my kink is I want to shit on you.
No, he wants to be dominated.
Saying, I want you to take a giant dump on my belly button.
On his belly button? That feels unhygienic. Shit could get caught in there.
Well, maybe he's got an outie, you know? And the poo.
It's too many creases.
So many creases.
At least make it his back. I don't know.
I can't entertain this. But what about the smell? Like, can we just talk about this for a second?
Right.
Okay, let's just say it's two people's kinks.
I'm here. If two consenting adults would like to partake in
poo play.
That is their right.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to shame them?
Okay. So I'm just trying to imagine that this is my jam. Okay.
And oh, this is the other thing my mate said, was she started to think about the logistics around this and she was like, would I squat on him? I guess I would have to squat on him.
It's not just going to fall out the side.
But like, I would have stage fright if it was me. Now, taking a poo on someone, okay, the poo is not on you. If it's turning that guy on, fine. But then the odor.
I would be actively turned off.
I would be actively dry retching.
By looking at my poo on someone.
Mm.
I'm not even an inspector in my privacy of my own bathroom.
You don't inspect your own poo?
No. I might have a quick glance while I'm flushing, but I'm definitely not an inspector. I know that it's a thing. And again, speaking of niche Reddit threads, where obviously this is a thing. I don't know where the crossover is with a kink, but I know there is an app or an online community where people share their poo photos and comment on the consistency.
Okay, but sharing of poo photos, is it erotic or is it like pimple popping? Watching right. those kinds of videos where it's like there's a satisfaction Faction. To it. Like I wonder if people go, yeah, that was a good catering offload.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That would have felt satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Beautiful poo.
Like there's that kind of enhancement to life where you're like, yes. Like I feel that about a blackhead.
Oh, you're an or extractions an ingrown girly.
Love.
Hate it.
Love it.
Hate it. My boyfriend likes ear wax content.
No.
And I'm like,
can't get behind that.
Absolutely not.
No. That I don't know why a pussy pimple is okay for me, but earwax crosses the line, but it does.
I guess it's just whatever floats your boat.
Oh my God. Poop Tracker.
Poop Tracker.
Is the name of the app, yeah. DLs.
Yeah. If you're so inclined. I guess it's like anything. Some people might find it satisfying in that extraction kind of way. Some people might get turned on like they get turned on by toe yeah. content yeah. or whatever, which, you know, again, is fine. Some people find that fucking disgusting, like you with your Thai heritage. You yeah. find foot stuff feral.
I do.
But to, you know, someone who's into toe sucking or foot fetish, they think it's glorious.
I mean, after a bath and some cleansing, like if the feet are clean, I can understand. It's just nubs of skin.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. If you're into my toes, it doesn't upset me.
Totally. But rounding out this story and just going back to my mate, a little bit of an update. She got him out of the house. And
poor guy. I wonder if this is something that was weighing on him. Like, oh, I've met this chick.
No, I actually don't think it
that
was.
That wasn't the sense.
Revs, it took you 18 months to tell Americano about your small misshapen food phobia. It took him date number 3.
Well,
okay?
He needs to figure it out, right? Because obviously it's a big thing for him. And it is, I actually respect.
I was going to say, I respect that he brought it up early.
Yeah.
Because imagine.
She'd got really invested.
Yeah. And they went a year or like, let's even say 6 months. You know, at this season of life, people don't fuck around. They don't waste time.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if she was like, I have found the one. It's going really well, Jem. You know, life is good. And then he drops this bomb. And okay, to finish out the story, she woke up the next morning and she got a text from him.
Okay.
You know how some people just can't read the room?
Oh, no.
Because she had clearly stated, oh, no, it's not my thing. He sent her a text in the morning going, just dropped a big one, ... So horny again, ... And I imagined you watching. And then in brackets, not for the faint-hearted, haha.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, this has crossed over another territory entirely.
Mm-hmm.
That is so far crossing. I'm getting like, now I'm mad. This was funny and now I'm cross.
Yeah.
Like, that is crossing a boundary, a clearly set of boundaries so hard. I now don't feel bad about kink shaming this anonymous person.
Mm.
That's not cool.
No.
Obviously, he really likes her and he's like really trying to see if it's going to land.
No,
but not okay.
No, Revs.
No, not okay.
I disagree, actually. I don't think he just really I think if you really liked someone, this is borderline creepy now. It's not even borderline.
Yeah, it's
crossed the border. It's straight up creepy.
Just dropped a big one.
Yeah. No, like, hey, just wanted to check in.
Yeah.
I may have gone a little hard talking about my poo fetish. And just wanted you to know that I'm actually still really into you. But no. It was like
testing the waters.
I'm so horny. I imagined you watching, not for the faint-hearted. Now, she replied, good morning. We're talking about cum here, right? Because he said I dropped a big one. And he wrote, ha, 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 good morning.
Nope.
Smiley face.
Blech.
And she wrote, FML, deaf on different pages on that one.
Cute.
And he wrote, and this is where the conversation ends, ha ha ha, nothing a little booze won't fix.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Red flag
and
city.
Also, way too many ha ha ha's for something that's so unfunny.
So sinister.
Ha ha ha. I'm coming for you with my poo.
Right?
No.
No, I'm coming for you for your poo.
Okay. Well, shit, it's a jungle out there.
It really is.
Seriously. Mm. Is this what we have to deal with?
I know. Look, my mate said that's the last dating app guy that she's willing to put a heart on the line for. She's now only dating people through personal referrals.
Yeah.
She's done.
There aren't many in that pool.
I know.
Oh, that's enough to stay married. Honestly, that's like
a fucking jungle out there.
Well, you know,
I guess. But Revsy, I mean, you've had some fascinating.
Yeah, but nothing to that level.
Yeah.
That's wow.
But imagine, right? Because you met Americano on a dating app.
Yeah, I did.
You are heavily invested in this relationship.
Yeah.
Imagine if he came out with that now.
Yeah.
18 months now into your relationship. Well, I don't know. You came out with the small misshapen foods. I'm just trying to
think.
Yeah,
but that doesn't affect our joint life, really.
I know it doesn't.
And it's not a sex thing. I feel like you get – you do have to sort of figure out in the first month or two if you're sexually compatible, if things are going to work there, because that is, like, especially at this season of life, important.
Okay,
you know?
Well, what about
to me anyway,
people who have been in longer term relationships? Like, say you've been together for 10, 15 years. What happens if someone develops a kink?
What if Hubs came to you and was like, babe, I want to float something with you. You know, I haven't been hiding it from you, but I just stumbled across something that really awoke something in me and I want to try some shit play. Like, because you can't be like, get out of my house.
No.
Unsubscribe. Like, it's not like that. It's kind of like you'd have to be like, okay, talk me through it. What's involved? Where did this come from? Like,
no, I don't think I would ask what's involved. I would be like, this is something I can't offer you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to discuss how strong this need and this urge is and investigate that. Maybe pull that thread. And we might need to talk about you
exploring this elsewhere.
Yeah.
What if he was like, I just want to look at your shits?
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Because you might be like, yeah, fine.
Yeah. Well, if go I'm for honest,
it. Like if it was a
it's
new
harmless. It's harmless, right?
If it was a new person, you'd be like, no, I don't want that.
Because the bar's starting low.
But like, you know, you're like well-married kids. You know, you're past all the points of pretending you don't have an asshole.
It doesn't involve me.
It doesn't really involve you. In fact, it involves less life admin, no flushing.
Yeah.
No half, like, double
whirlpool
flush for you. You know, would you be up for that?
Yeah, if he felt an overwhelming need to investigate my poo, to check its texture, see if it's pellety that day or if it's fully formed.
I'm so upset. I'm upset by a human race. Ad break.
Got to keep the lights on.
Hey, Jem, want to play a game?
Do I ever not want to play a game?
Okay, if you lost your makeup bag, what are the three MCO Beauty products you would immediately repurchase?
Flawless Glow Luminous Skin Filter.
Okay, they didn't even hesitate.
Well, it's my first step. Primer, concealer in one.
And it creates that dewy finish that we love.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number two would be the Super Glow Bronzing Drops.
Knew it, called it.
I mean, I love the Sunkissed Bronze look, obviously. Especially as we're going into the cooler months, Revsy.
It's so hydrating.
Yep. And my last pick would be
Extend Lash Mascara.
Ah, of course. My fave.
Well, it's everyone's favorite tubular mascara, actually.
So DLs, head into Chemist Warehouse, Woolworths, Big W, or jump online to mcobeauty.com to stock up on all of their cult faves.
And check out their new products today. Do you know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for?
I don't even know how to phrase it.
Mm.
My general state of fatigue at the moment when it comes to parenting. Okay, that sounds very generic and kind of the theme of the whole podcast. Let me elaborate.
Mm.
So as you've mentioned, I have shared custody with my children because I am divorced. So I don't even get my kids full time, which these days makes me, you know, I've talked about this before. The first year is kind of like, oh my God, some me time. And then it gets very sad. And it generally makes me very sad. I miss them anytime they're not with me and when they're not home.
And I don't want to be reductive at
no,
that.
No, no, no.
I can joke in jest
I know.
About your you time, but I know the reality.
I know you do. I'm just, this is for the single mums out there who are like, oh, no, it sucks. There's many, many sides to it, multi-layered. But this is the irony of it, Jem. When I get them back, I am so tired and I'm finding myself increasingly irritable and disconnected in the day-to-day stuff. And I want to fix it.
Okay.
Because my kids are much more self-sufficient now, much more independent. I miss them desperately when they're not home. And then it's like, you know what it's like when you go on holiday or you get a weekend off your kids and you miss them, yeah. and you can't wait to get home and you're home 10 minutes and they drive you up the wall.
Yes.
It's like you get out of practice or yeah. you fall out of rhythm and then it becomes harder or mm-hmm. something to like.
And your fuse is shortened
and
somehow.
And your fuse is shortened. Yeah. Like, I will never forget the first time I went back to work when I had two kids.
Yeah.
I thought I would be such a better mum when I was at home because I missed them and all those things. But actually I found I had far less patience and I found it much harder to sort of have a foot in both worlds. So I'm kind of here again with it, but I'm trying to get inside it because I want to change it.
Yeah. What do you think, just on initial instincts, what is the thing that needs to be changed,
okay,
do you think?
I think, and I'm going to do some investigating into this, but I think it's a couple of things. I think it's really time to get off my phone.
Oh, what? Yes.
I know.
I feel like you've known this for a long time.
I know,
time.
But like it's always about, you know what I mean? Like I'm not staring into it and ignoring them, but it's hanging around.
It's still go. Calling for your
it's
attention.
It's still pulling me. Yeah. And then it just, it, there's nothing on my phone. Like, sure, sometimes I do need, but like really?
Yeah.
I need to put it away.
Yes.
Because even it being on the bench or on the charger or whatever, it still has a fucking addictive pull on me and I want it gone because then the effect is overstimulation.
So what boundaries can you put in for yourself? Because sometimes I think you need to put time restraint, yep. like literal
yep.
between this time.
I've already done it. I've already said from the second we get home from school pickup on my days, it goes in my room. Like, because we don't go in my room.
Till bedtime.
Till bedtime. Yes. Till they go to bed. Now, sometimes they need something, like they want to play a song or they want to, you know, whatever. We need to order grocery or whatever. Like, but I'm really trying to like lock it away.
Great.
For that time. The other part is, Jem, I hate this. I think I need to exercise.
Oh, yeah.
I think I've crossed over into an age where if I don't exercise, I feel really shit.
This is not revelatory
for
but
me.
It sounds
is.
Like it's revelatory for you.
Me it is.
No, I get it.
I
babe.
Think I'm getting fatigued.
Yes,
by not moving my body.
I know.
It's
I know.
So it's boring. A tale
as, it is. It's a tale as old as time, and it is boring.
Well, I think this is the thing that's going to kick me into fucking gear. Is it's affecting my parenting. Mm. I'm putting myself out there and trying. Like I'm going to say this on the mic because I want to own up to it. This is now affecting my parenting. Like everybody knows, I've got a complicated relationship with body. So exercise, I've always had to be very careful that it's not about a size thing, that it's got to be, you know, it's got to be positive.
Yeah, the engine of the why
the
has
why.
To be to get more energy.
Well,
to
yes.
For me, one of my, if I may share, like the core beliefs, and it's funny I use the word core, but I go to Pilates not to change my shape, but to strengthen my core
yeah.
because in my family history, we have vulnerable backs
yeah.
and my mum, her back goes in an instant and then she cannot move
yeah.
for like a couple of days and she's bedridden and I have inherited her back. And
yeah.
my mum said the antidote to this is a strong core.
Yeah.
And my core took a beating
yeah.
after two pregnancies. I had ab separation. I've had pelvic floor issues. And I just had to sit with myself at the start of this year and go, Jem.
It's not cute anymore.
It's not cute anymore.
You've got to be
responsible. And this isn't even about moving my body every
yeah, yeah.
day to feel good.
Hot girl walks.
Yeah, or get endorphins. Mm. Or you know, this is about longevity now.
That's the other piece. So again, very blessed that exercise has never been linked to mental health for me.
Mm.
Yes, I feel great after it, but it's not like if I don't exercise, my mental health will be in the toilet.
Mm.
I can be inside for a couple of days.
And not have mental health issues.
Not have any mental health issues. That's not a flex. I feel very lucky for
yeah.
that.
Like you, Revs, I don't have reason enough.
Yeah.
Because I can function fine
yeah.
by not exercising until
yeah. you hit a break. Well, it's not even a breaking point. It feels like just an add up. And my kids are like, Mom, can we go out? Can we this? Can we that? And I've been like, oh my God, it's good for kids to get bored. I've come up with every fucking reason.
Excuse.
To just be fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Because it's my inclination.
And to give DLs a little more insight into Revs's world, which I think they might find interesting, is that when Revs was married, her ex-husband was actually an activities guy.
Big time.
It actually used to drive you nuts.
Yeah.
Because he would get the kids out all the time. All and time. Sometimes you were just like, Can we just
sit still?
Can we just hang out at home?
Can they be bored?
Yes.
Can we potter?
But now that you're separated and you're in this season of full ownership of how you choose to exist day to day life, you haven't got someone to prompt you to take the kids outside, to go and do activities, to have a run around, because it's not in your nature.
And I've justified it to myself as like, well, when they're with him, they have full action.
You've said that to me.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm balancing the scale.
I'm balancing it out. On my weekends, we can just chill and, you know, whatever. No, it's like, it's getting to another thing now.
Yeah.
And I still do believe in kids' imaginations need to flourish by being bored. And it is good to have time at home. And
of course.
You don't have to wall to wall, go, 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 go all weekend. I think they do need chill time after a school week, all that stuff. I do still believe in that. But I feel like it's crossing over into a fatigue. Like I can feel like a blanket of fatigue on me. And I think it's affecting my parenting. So I just have to step up. Like I just have to do something and I have to find some exercise that is going to give me more energy.
Do you know what's rough for you though is, I think it is fair of me to say this, but you did draw the short straw in terms of the division of the kids from, in my opinion, because you are getting them at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Now I know there's benefits both ways because it means you get to really rattle on with work when you're at your freshest part. I mean, for me, Monday is always my most productive day.
Yeah.
And if I could eliminate parenting from that day, oh my goodness, the productivity and what I could get done. But you are receiving end of the week kids. They're exhausted from all the school and all the learning and all the necessary attention that's required to be at school.
Yeah.
Everyone knows, it's universal, that by Friday they're kids
ratty.
Are cooked.
Yeah.
They're ratty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're ratty. You're not fresh either.
I know. Anyway, I'm very good at coming up with many theories why my way is best on whatever I want.
But you're surrendering.
I'm trying to take ownership and accountability. I've got to get a level. I don't want to be a fucking iron woman. I'm getting too old to ignore the fact that exercise is really important. I mean, it's just not, I know like this is not revelatory. I know, but like it's never been part of my life. Mm. And if it has, it's been problematic. So I just want to put it out there and say I need to take some accountability and find some exercise that's going to give me energy.
Yeah.
I feel like Pilates, I love reformer Pilates. Mm-hmm. I stopped at Cozy Lives reasons a few years ago and then I just fell off the train. Do you know what I mean? Try and get back into that or walks. Like, walks.
Do you
what's better than a walk?
My favorite new thing that I've discovered with the kids, because my kids, you know how we talk about how kids' behavior can be clues into what's needed. Often when they're demanding your attention, it's because they're seeking out connection with you, that because they're obviously feeling a deficit there. I have found that because I'm quite happy, like you, to let my kids be a bit bored. And I really enjoy them seeking out new versions of play.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see the benefits of that. But there is a tipping point where
it crosses over into COVID lockdown.
Well, exactly. And I've noticed there's a pattern with my kids where once they filled that imagination cup, I can always tell when they're over it because they start playing with shit that's not theirs.
Yeah.
They start getting into my drawers.
They start mucking up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And instantly I've started reading that as a sign of we need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And often that comes at the end of the day. And instead of now looking at my clock and going, okay, it's 2 hours till bedtime. I've just got to survive it. Now I go, it's 2 hours till bedtime. We're going out to the park.
Yeah.
And actually I'm going to pack lunch boxes for both of them with dinner. And we're going to have dinner in the park. And honestly, it makes that time disappear so much faster. Then I've got some incidental exercise in there as
fresh
well.
Air.
Because I've walked to the park, we've had fresh air. It's a circuit breaker. We've changed the location. We've changed the scenery. They're doing something instantly less whingy.
Yeah.
You know those days when you're at home and all you want to do is fucking scroll your phone and your kids are like, Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, Iggy's doing this. It's pulling my hair. And I'm like, play with different things. And then I'm back scrolling. And then it's like, Mommy.
They just want your focus. Yes,
that's all they want. And they need a scene change in that moment. They're looking for a circuit breaker, but they don't know how to do that for themselves. No, they don't.
And you have to do it.
And it's our job. As parents. I know.
I don't want to do
it. We don't like parenting on this podcast.
Can I be really... It's embarrassing.
Go on.
I think I get a bit sorry for myself because I'm solo parenting that like no one can help me out. I do. I get a bit of a pity party and I'm like, I'm a single mom. I just want to scroll. Leave me alone. But like, no, like, cool. I can choose that. I can choose to be irritable and like feel sorry for myself, or I can choose to be with my kids who I miss desperately when they're not there. And I'm trying really hard to say the truth of it so that I can really confront it and upgrade the software.
I think you need to maybe consciously give yourself the gift of mindless scroll time on Mondays and Tuesdays when you know you don't have the kids, so that you can go, I gave myself that time.
Here's the funny thing, Jem. I don't want it so much because I'm not seeking an escape from overstimulation and answering multiple things at once and doing three things at a time, because I'm able to do those days like a pre-kids person. Yeah. You know, I wake up, yes, I have breakfast, my coffee, I sit down at my desk, I do all the work I need to do, I'll go out and get groceries, I'll cook dinner, I'll see a friend, I'll have my boyfriend over, whatever. And so I actually barely look at my phone on those days. And it's not that I'm doing anything that's any more engaging. It's just I really think my phone is becoming an escape. And
from the overstimulation of children.
Which is so ironic because...
No, it makes sense,
it makes it worse. But it's like I think it's the solution. Yeah. My brain has attached some kind of thing to it thinking it's going to soothe me. But it adds to the noise and the pull. And
it makes your kids worse.
It's time. Yeah. It's time. And I'm trying to give myself a bit of grace because, look, COVID really messed with me, I know, with all of us in this way. You know, I used to have quite strict device rules and my kids did definitely get out more and we did a lot more reading and we did a lot more play and things before COVID. COVID like put a blanket of fatigue on all of us where we gave ourselves permission to be like, you know what, if they have to be on their iPads, have to be on their iPads. Like,
so be it.
So be it. What are we going to do? We're not going to do this perfectly. Like, you know, all that kind of thing. And I got into a lot of parenting habits. Add to that separation, you know, add to that all the things in the last 3 years. Mm. So I'm trying to give myself grace.
Okay, but you've done that.
But
now.
I've done it. As you say, there's a tipping point and I'm at it.
Yeah.
And it's time to be like, okay, shake it up, dust it off and like don't miss this time.
But I like your set boundaries, babe, that you stated. It's just about it becoming habit forming. And that just takes, like, the discipline will be removed once it becomes part of the routine and part of the habit. It's just you're not there yet. So you have to be a bit more conscious about doing it.
But the exercise piece, like, it is such a, it feels like a mountain for me. I know you're the same.
You've got to notice in yourself when your hand reaches for the phone, like you've got to start developing that awareness of, oh, why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Oh, look at me. Here I go again. Just picking up my phone, opening what, why, for what purpose? What am I seeking out? What do my kids need? I don't, not to sound smug, but I feel like I'm better.
You're further along with this than me.
I definitely am further along with this than you. And I know because, you know, in the podcast, we have a chat group between me, Revs, and producer Kate. And often there's a chat going on and
for hours.
Yes. And I am coming in at the end and I have to scroll back, read where the chat is, and then I join. Jem enters the chat very late. And that's because you know that I have these dark device windows where I just go dark on comms. It's because I'm trying to get my kids through bedtime.
Yeah.
And the difference is, Revs, it actually requires more of a discipline from you because my kids still need help with eating
everything.
Dinner.
Yeah.
My kids need help with bath time.
Yeah.
Iggy can't dress himself yet, you know.
Yeah.
So because of that, I physically have to be there. I can't physically be on the phone, otherwise he's naked going to bed. Whereas for you, because your kids have developed this level of independence now, the temptation is strong to reach for your phone because technically you can.
Yeah. And just mung out.
You want to mung out.
Doom scrolling.
But I think you've, it sounds like your kids are now forcing your hand to take the phone out of your hand. 100%. Literally.
It's the irritability. Mm. It's like, that's not me. I'm not that person. I blew up my life to not be irritable, you know, to be fully in my life and happy and intentional. Like, this is not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely need exercise, but I need to have a level of energy and I need to cut that tie to that fucking device.
Can I say something? You know, when you watch something on the internet or you're reading something and it's really taken your attention, there's nothing more annoying than when a kid is interrupting your immersion into what it is you're consuming on your phone, right? Lately, you know, it happened to me very recently. My husband has been away a lot, 3 weeks, in fact. He has come back here and there on weekends, and we went away to Tassie, for example, but he has done 17 flights so far just this year, just to give you a picture. So I've had quite a bit of alone time with my kids, but I was really engrossed in an article and articles require concentration because you've got to read and scroll. It's not like watching a video. And my kids were on me and I was like, no, I'm really enjoying this article and I want to get to the, you know, the heart of the conclusion of this. And I was irritable. I had a moment where I checked in with myself when Iggy called mum for the sixth time and I didn't respond because they don't fucking stop until you give them
attention. They're designed that way.
Correct. And I went, this article's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's literally not going anywhere, Jem. It'll be there when you pick your phone back up. It's okay.
It's not how it feels, is it? It feels like, oh, I'm going to lose the thing and I'm gonna, and then in the pile of things that I have to do, I'm going to completely miss this moment to just have a sec.
Totally.
But it's not a sec.
No.
It turns into minutes, turns into hours, turns into all this time that you are disconnecting from your kids. Mm-hmm. Makes me sad at myself.
But Revsy, like maybe you need to just have that thought of it isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I can revisit this. I can doom scroll.
It's a good reframe. Yeah.
You know, when I'm in bed, when the kids are asleep, I can doom scroll to my heart's content. You know?
And then I find I don't even want to. So isn't it just, well, it's just acknowledging that.
I was going to say, there's been a few reels that I've got halfway through and I'm like, want to get to the conclusion. And then I finally get that me time and I'm like, oh yeah, that reel. And then I go, what was it? I don't even care.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. If it reappears in my feed, great. Someone will probably send it to me. It's not the end of the world. Like, really, what are these little bites of content doing?
Seriously. Can I call on the Facebook group, please? Guys, can we start a thread about exercise that is easy to fit into your week and that makes you feel good? Any tips or like motivational reframes? I don't want full Fitspo stuff. I'm not looking for that. But it's like any, if you're a lazy girl at heart like us, have you done any reframes or mental tricks on yourself to just get in the habit of that regular exercise? Because I know this is a big part to it. Two really hard things to admit here, but I know both of them need addressing.
It certainly doesn't come natural to either of us, but I just want to say you never regret it. That's the thing that drives me. You know, DL's like, and I'm not doing this for pats on the back, but I'm, as declared, on my heaviest day of Shark Week, I went to fucking Pilates today.
Yes, girl.
Did I do the lightest springs? Yes. Did I half-ass some of the moves? 100p.
But I
showed up
and
I got my heart rate up a bit. I moved my body. Yes, I felt better after. All the endorphins, everything they fucking tell you, that's truth.
So inconvenient.
Yeah.
I love it.
But I did it.
Okay, whiplash. Hit me with your nut spun.
I said,
woo!
Hit me with your nut spun.
Doot, doot, doot. Sing it, sister.
I'll make this one quick. Now, B-box lunch boxes. Mm. I realize we're a few weeks into the school year.
Yeah.
But let's just say you brought a brand of lunchbox that you're semi-regretting.
Let's just say your kids already lost that lunchbox.
Let's just say your lunchbox is broken because you tried to buy one that was aesthetically pleasing, but it turns out it's shit. I want to recommend B-Box lunchboxes. Yeah. I have tried a number of lunchbox brands and this one reigns supreme.
Okay.
There's a silicone seal so that you can do wet foods like yogurts in certain areas, or you can do, I don't know, soups if you want in winter, or dips such as hummus.
Yep.
There's a section that makes space for an apple, like a whole apple.
Genius.
Yes, it's a very clever design. It comes in lots of colors. They even have a partnership with Disney so you can get an aerial Animal one or cool. a Beauty and the Beast one if you're that way inclined. They do have neutral-ish enough colours. There's a handle. I could go on. It comes in lots of sizes. Raffa's school does a thing called Sip and Crunch before recess. Mm-hmm. So that has to come in a really mini one, and I've got a really mini one, then I've got a medium-sized one for recess and then a big one. It's fantastic. I love the whole Bbox range. They also do fantastic drink bottles that are insulated. Mm. Nothing is cheap or affordable, but...
But you back, like, you think it's worth it.
Qual over, not quan, just qual product.
Quality product, worth the price tag.
And obviously label the shit out of it. Another not spawn, Hippo Blue does great name tags
you
for
know,
your kids.
Label all my kids' shit, never comes back to me. Mm. Still gets lost in the ethers of lost property.
Yeah.
But I have irresponsible kids.
I don't even want to share, because it's only week three of school, what Rafa has already lost.
Yeah. Hat.
Hat.
Yep.
But that one's come back.
Oh, good.
Jumper. That one has also come back.
Oh, great.
Thankfully. Library bag has not returned.
That's annoying.
That is annoying, because she wasn't allowed to borrow a book from the library last week because she didn't have a library bag.
Well, that'll learn her.
It will.
I just send tote bags for library bags now.
Great.
Yeah.
Revsy.
Mm.
Hear me with your not spot.
I've got a fun one.
Go on then.
You know when you're like, that product solves a problem.
Love those.
Here's one. Do you clean your makeup brushes?
I don't want to expose.
I don't.
How unhygienic I am.
I do it so infrequently.
Confession?
Yeah.
Once a year.
Oh, that's more than me.
Really?
I'm terrible.
Thank you. I feel like this is the unspoken thing.
Yeah.
Now, I know makeup artists will be like, formidable.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You're just asking for conjunctivitis.
It's like washing bras.
But you know what? I go for a year without washing my brushes and I don't get conjunctivitis.
Well, sometimes my skin's acting up and I'm like, oh, I think I'm just putting gross gunk on my face every day.
Do you use a beauty blender?
Yep.
How infrequently do you wash that?
Look, I feel like I've bared enough on this episode. I'm a grub. Okay.
It's fine. I think a lot of people will relate.
It's okay. I've solved it.
Go
There's
on,
a
then.
Product you can buy to be ungrubby.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Saint Jack.
Ooh, fancy name.
S-A-I-N-T, Jack. And it is an instant makeup brush cleaner. So it is a liquid that you pour into the cap.
Yeah.
You put your brush in there. It instantly cleans the brush.
But how instant are we talking?
Instant. Go look at the videos.
Okay.
It's like it just goes, sucks it all out, but it's dry.
What?
And the brush is dry within minutes.
What do you mean?
I know.
I go through a whole thing. Like I said, I do it once a year where I get hand soap, warm water.
Yep, same.
I have to run it through
then
the brushes.
Spin it out. Yep.
Spin it out.
Put
and
it
then
on
I,
the,
and then I have a
towel,
paper towel.
In the sun, sunlight.
Yes.
Nope, not anymore. Saint Jack.
Amazing.
And it's just like an instant thing. Anyway, it's just like I get very tickled by a product that just solves a problem we've all been living with for our whole lives. Anyway, it went viral. It's a huge thing, but you can get it online and it's just like a shampoo-sized bottle of liquid that does it all for you.
And you just put it in the cap.
Just do it.
I like the ease of that.
Minutes later.
Amazing.
And dry. Ready to use again. How good? Well, that was a long and winding road through all our misgivings.
I'm waiting for us to like run out of steam with episodes, but it's not happening.
Not yet.
DLs, as always, thank you for letting us invade your ear holes. If you've stuck around this long, well done on the listening stamina. Not everyone has it, but yay for you. We love you, DLs.
Bye.